at the Oscars, the Academy Awards Sunday night. Clearly, there were people with a lot of politics on their mind, no matter how much they tried to describe it. And who better to ask about that stuff than my man, my business partner here, one of my best friends on the planet, who happens to be the 12-time Emmy Award winner as host of Entertainment Tonight, covering Hollywood better than anybody in the business, the one and only Kevin Frazier. What's going on, big time? How are you?
What's going on with you? How are you?
Give it to me straight. Hollywood, they were not successful in ignoring politics, were they?
If you're in Hollywood, and especially at something like the Oscars, you can't ignore politics, because you have to remember something. At the Oscars, you're talking to an international community. I mean, one of the movies nominated for Best Picture, Sentimental Values, is a Norwegian film. They were dealing with that whole Greenland debacle in that area of Scandinavia for a long time. You know, there are movies from all over, including the Middle East, that are part of this ceremony. So you have an international body of people making cinema and making art, and they're all there for the Oscars.
What did you believe? What did you feel for Conan O'Brien's opening, his opening monologue, and how he handled everything? Let's start there first. How did you feel he handled everything?
Conan O'Brien is a brilliant writer, and I thought that he delivered a spot-on monologue. Look, that is part of what you do. You speak about what's happening in Hollywood, like the Timothy Chalamet issues, and you speak about what's going on in the world, like the things with the president right now. And I thought he was spot on. It was perfect for his audience. Everyone laughed. I don't think that, you know, it was malicious or harmful. I think he just made commentary on what's happening in the world. Great comedians make light of what's happening in the world, and that's exactly what he did.
What about Jimmy Kimmel?
Jimmy Kimmel has big balls. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because for him to step back up and take a pot shot at Donald Trump and the Melania documentary after what went on, because I was at Kimmel when all that stuff went down. And I want you to understand this, and I'm going to say this again so everybody gets it. What Jimmy Kimmel was worried about when all that happened, he wasn't worried about himself. He was worried about the people who worked for him. And he was concerned about all those people who would have been unemployed if that show had stopped at that point. So he was glad to get that show back on the air, but he ain't changed. He's being Jimmy Kimmel. He's being who he is. And the fact that the president goes tit for tat with him, that's on the president, honestly, to be honest with you, because in the past, no one would answer a comedian. But, you know, Kimmel speaks his mind, and it clearly gets under the skin of Donald Trump. And he has tried to eliminate him, put pressure on him to take him off the air. And there is Kimmel at the Oscars still standing 10 toes deep saying what he's got to say.
Who was responsible for the projected image on the side of the hotel by the Dolby Theater, where it was talking about getting ICE out of L.A. For immigration purposes?
Well, who knows? We don't know. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. But I will tell you this, that is a form of protest. Protest is allowed in this country. That's how we have survived as a democracy for this long, because protest is allowed. And so it's interesting that people get so, you know, they're so bothered about protest. We've moved forward as a country because of protest and peaceful protest, not violent protest, not overturning things. But remember how this country started, right? The Boston Tea Party, right? It was American citizens standing up to the British militia to slow them down as they headed to Boston. So just keep in mind that protest has always been a part of the fabric of this country.
I understand that. But the flip side to that would be is that the one-sidedness is what folks on the right would point to, because they're talking about, you got a guy like Donald Trump. Everybody, you know, my attitude with Jimmy Kimmel, listen, I love Jimmy Kimmel. I've been a guest on his show, been a guest on Stephen Colbert's show. You haven't been a guest on Jimmy Fallon's show. I think they're absolutely fabulous. I love them. I wish they stay on for a very, very long time to come, even though we hear about folks ultimately walking away from late night. My issue is that as comedians, you know, the one thing that we were able to point to, Kevin, religiously, is that no one was spared. Everyone got it. But one would argue, it's particularly with folks on the right, that hasn't been the case when it comes to Trump, which to me gives them fodder to come at folks the way that they do, because they're saying that it's so one-sided. What do you say to that?
Hold on. Whoever is in power will take the knots. And we know that's how it is. And so when all these people getting so sensitive, they need to stop. Because when Democrats were in control, jokes were made about Democrats, things they did, whether it's the way that, you know, Biden got old in office. There were jokes made, lots of jokes by Kimmel, especially about Biden and his age and what was going on in the White House.
Well, maybe the thing that I made a mistake is bringing up jokes, Kev. Because again, I think that Donald Trump gets hurt and he deserves it. The flip side to it, however, is that a lot of times the comedians ain't joking. I mean, it's like, yo, you were laughing your ass off when they were talking about Biden or Kamala or Clinton, especially. They had a field day with Clinton in office and George W. I mean, they had a field
all
day.
Those but things, when it comes to all Donald those things Trump, had a it ain't necessarily fun. All those things had a little bit of truth to them, whether it was Clinton and his affairs. I mean, Clinton was skewered by late night because of his different affairs and the different women and how he treated. He was skewered, but they made it funny and you laughed along with him, right? He took it. He didn't every day, you know, find a way to answer those people. He just kept moving forward. He didn't address it every day. But all the things that were going on with Clinton, whether it was Whitewater, whether it was his illicit affairs, whether it's some kind of legislation, they were addressed and he took a lot of hits because of it. I mean, when the Jennifer Flowers stuff happened, it was all over the place. We know this. And they gave lots of people talked about. Yeah. Well, I mean, the Monica Lewinsky was the gift that kept on giving for late night comedians. Right. So this ain't different. So when Republicans come out and they're like, woe is me, you're hurting our feelings. It's like, stop, y'all. Stop. Go legislate. Stop crying about what people are saying, the comedians are saying in late night, because it's happened forever. It's gone on forever.
As you look at Hollywood right now, one would think that because of the climate that we're living in, because of who's in the White House and how you've got the FCC chairman talking about, you know, your people's license being, you know, licenses being in jeopardy and stuff like that because of public airwaves and all of this other stuff going on. In light of all of that, how fearful do you find Hollywood to be, if fearful at all? How fearful do you find them to be about the times that we're living in, considering who's in office and what level of retribution he may engage in to come after them at this particular moment in time?
I do think that there's a line between the people who have earned enough to speak freely and the people who are still on the come up. And even some of those people that have earned a lot, they are still, their voices are muted. They aren't as loud as they would be normally. But I will say this, that when Mark Ruffalo walked up to me at the Golden Globes and I asked him about, you know, the Marvel movie, the movie he's in this year, and he shifted quickly to what was going on in Minnesota, I let the man speak. Just like you say on your show, you like to let people come and speak their piece. And so that was the thing. It wasn't my job to interrupt or argue or do anything. It's my job to listen to what you're saying. And if you say something that's not true, I can give a rebuttal. But I let him speak because what he had to say was important for him at that moment. And that's the problem. Everybody wants to fight and argue. And they want to say, you're wrong, I'm right. Ain't nobody right. Nobody is 100% right. And that's where the line has become blurred. And that's why there's a problem, because people want to watch and click on the arguments. The algorithm has been pushed towards the fight, not the solution, the fight. And that's the problem. Let's hear what the other side has to say. Let's talk about it. Let's have dignified correspondence. And I think that's the thing that is happening. What you're hearing from folks in Hollywood is, this is their moment to say something. They are saying their piece, but they're trying to say it in a dignified manner or in a funny manner or an artful way. But they're not trying to, you know, cause an insurrection. They're not storming the Capitol. And art that has challenged the government has long been a part of Hollywood. You can go all the way back to the beginning of time. And, you know, I would say one of the most hurtful pieces of cinema in the history of America is The Birth of a Nation by D.W. Griffith and the way it painted Black folks. And that movie was a sensation. It was a sensation. People loved that movie. And it was one of the most harmful pieces of propaganda ever. So the cinema has always commented on the times, good and bad. You know, I mean, all the president's men. There have been so many great movies.
You know, you bring up The Birth of a Nation. That was a really, really good call on your part, because obviously that was incredibly harmful. But the other thing that comes with that, though, is the changing times that we're living in. Because of the move away from the theaters, per se, streaming, and the opportunities and the kind of things that, you know, the kind of things that Hollywood has expressed concerns about, you know, with the advent of AI and how that supposedly in the future will take away jobs and things of that nature. We've seen Warner Brothers and, you know, how you had Paramount and all of this stuff going on in terms of the merger and everything like that. So many things that we've looked at. We found ourselves asking, is Hollywood in danger of being silenced at some point in time or another, based on what we're witnessing, based on what we've seen the administration try to do in terms of pointing out who they've got problems with and exacting retribution, et cetera, et cetera? Is that a palpable fear that you find Hollywood is experiencing right now?
For the shifting landscape, and I think nothing says more about it than you being on this medium right here. YouTube is where a lot of voices are coming now to sound off that wouldn't have been available through traditional media. And as traditional media changes and shifts, you're seeing it. I mean, you know, once upon a time, they went from silent films to movies with sound, and everybody freaked out and they said, everything is changing. And then television came in and color came in. There will always be a move to shift the way that technology affects everything that we see and we hear. But the voices always find a place to speak their truth and speak with freedom. Look at some of the people who have now shifted over to this medium. You, Piers Morgan, Megyn Kelly, Joy Reid, all kinds of Tucker Carlson, all different voices saying different things, but they have found a place. And also we find that it's easier and cheaper than ever to make content. So Hollywood is making content in a cheaper and different way. We all have to shift. We all have to understand the landscape is changing, but we also have to adapt to what is new. New things will come at you all the time. What if you had sat your ass in the studio and never transitioned to something different? Where would you be?
Couldn't have said it better myself. One and only Kevin Frazier, Entertainment Tonight. Appreciate you, big boy. Talk to you soon. By the way, Michael B., I knew he was winning Best Actor. I knew he was going to do it.
He deserved it. Was, and everybody has to take this into account, because look, I think that Jesse Buckley gave an incredible performance in Hamnet. I thought that Timothée Chalamet was good in Marty Supreme. But Michael's performance, to me, was the best performance of the year, because he played two people. And he pulled it off so convincingly and beautifully that you believe there are two dudes named Smoke and Stack.
Here we go. Appreciate you, bro. Thanks a lot, my man.
Love you. All right. Talk to you soon.
Thanks again to Kevin Frazier encapsulating everything the way only he can. You heard what I had to say. You heard what he had to say. Just reminding you, Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, over the airwaves of SiriusXM POTUS Radio. I will be back on. Hopefully, I'll be even better recovered from my whole dental procedure and all of that than I was today, and certainly over this past weekend. I can't wait to get back at it, because I got a lot to say. But until then, y'all have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Stephen A. signing off. Until next time, peace and love.